What's up, gents?
Hello.
Hello. Matt, what's going on?
Oh, trying to user error. It's another fine day in paradise. If I can
Are
find
you
it on my phone.
confirmed? Are you confirmed to come down to Costa next week?
Yeah, I am still waiting to hear back from the
Okay.
clinic. With regards, I sent them a couple emails and haven't responded. I need to follow up with a phone call tomorrow. I'm cleared. So
Awesome.
I plan to be there, unless they come up with some whopper of a surprise on the pricing or something like that.
Awesome. Nope, I don't think so. You sent me over what it is for me, so it's I'm sure it's gonna be similar.
I got shoulders, hip, maybe forearms, and just a systemic reboot.
Yeah. I'm
Excited.
impressed. I'm impressed with this clinic, man. Like I spoke with the doctor, she seems great. They seem like they're on top of stuff with like I know more than I let on, and I ask some guided questions sometimes, and I see how they respond, and they're saying all the right things, let's say that. And so yeah, they're very, very well educated.
Their web presence, the stuff I found about them online all looks
Yeah,
super
looks
solid.
good.
Super solid.
Yeah. And so there's a bunch of like process things that I know about with stem cells that like you got to know what you're talking about to know this. And they knew it. Like I was dropping some pretty challenging questions, and they were on top of it. So I was like, yeah, this is so far sounds like it's a good fit.
Yeah, it's like a 3 hour flight from here. It's super easy. And if I shot you one question off through the messaging that I would love an answer on when you have a chance.
Is it a private question or I can answer now?
It was just about hotel.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember. You know why? I actually you asked me that question. I was like, I don't even remember the name of the hotel. Steve, what hotel did we stay at in Costa Rica? What was the name of
Oh, frig, man. You're asking like the worst guy. My memory's like this big.
I
No,
know I have a great memory, but man, I'm like, I don't even know. I'll get it for you, man.
no worries. I'm trying to make life easy.
Yeah.
Or
Yeah.
got a cat.
I'll get it as soon as I'm off the call, I'll get it for you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, good evening or good morning, depending where you are in the world. I've enjoyed an incredible day of travel today. I was up at 3:30 to get on a plane. I enjoyed a 4 hour delay and then a 5.5 hour flight. I literally just arrived at the hotel. So I'm excited to chat with you guys about all of the stuff. Coach Steve, how you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. We've had some weird weather over here. It's been like snowing, then raining. So it's just like the worst little, yeah. It's not a lot of fun. So it's kind of like stuck in the house, but making do. You're in Mexico. When did you arrive, you said?
About 20 minutes ago, man.
No way.
I just got it. So there's an event with some of my, I mean, I'm a part of some like masterminds. There's an event here this weekend, so came to connect with some of my old buddies. Where's Andrew? Andrew, you busy? What are you doing? Normally, you got your video on. All right, gents. So, while I did say that today I was going to discuss the Brian Johnson Arate book, I'm actually going to push that back to next week. We've had some questions come through with respect to optimizing for nutrition, specific to any specific goals you guys have, but I'll tell you the few questions that came through, and I thought these were interesting. So some of the questions were focused around like some lifestyle and dietary hacks for fat loss. And I was like, okay, like people are like, well, understanding mechanistically what needs to happen to accelerate fat loss. Most of the Instagram, Facebook worlds, YouTube worlds will tell you that a calorie is a calorie. And they would be wrong. And so not all calories are created equal. And so some people asked about specific reasons why, like can I give you how to proof basically what they're looking for is like how can I differentiate between say a protein shake and a steak, or a sweet potato versus a rice cake or something, right? And no, the body doesn't just see calories. There's much more to nutrition than just calories. So nutrition is also a biochemical signal, meaning along with those calories also comes a biochemical influence. So there's considerations around vitamins, there's considerations around fiber, there's considerations around macronutrient ratios. There's also considerations around things that most people never think of, in energy. Everything in this world carries with it an energy. And while that sounds esoteric and like Ben's in Costa Rica again, it's a true reality, right? The reality of the energy of food needs to be considered. So if something's been in a freezer for God knows long in a box or processed, it's not going to do the same thing inside your body. So I want you guys to be conscious of the quality of the food you eat. So one of the things I know, I understand everyone is in this world with different means, financial means, live in different locations. Therefore, we have different access to things. But what I encourage you all to do is create an operating system. So I like to think in operating systems, right? So right now I'm in Mexico. I'm going to Costa Rica next week. I need a system of eating that supports me while I'm there based on some basic criteria. And I want to give you guys what that basic criteria is. So whenever possible, I must prioritize finding and accessing the highest quality meat that I can and the highest quality vegetables that I can. So again, I'm not aware of everyone's financial means, so sometimes it's not possible. But if you look, you'll be surprised what you can find. For example, farmers are going to become your best friends. Fresh eggs, fresh meat, fresh vegetables, so much cheaper than it would otherwise cost at the grocery store. Sorry, someone sent a message. Often so much cheaper than you'll find at a grocery store. So every one of you will have a farmer nearby. Maybe there's a farmer's market, even in the wintertime in the places with winter months now. Like I found 2 days a week where there's a farmer's market that I can go to in my city. And there's people who do hydroponically grown vegetables, eggs every day. Like you can find these things. You just have to make it a priority. And so while in the beginning, it sounds like, oh my gosh, it's so much work. Once you figure it out, I have my fish that's delivered on Thursdays, my steak that's delivered on Tuesdays, and my chicken and my vegetables delivered on Wednesday or Friday, depending when he decides to come. It just gets delivered. So my encouragement to you guys is try to find the highest quality meat and vegetables specifically. And when I say meat, that also means eggs, that you can find. So a simple Google search, gentlemen, farmer's market near me, or a local grass-fed organic farm. Look it up. Find those things near you. And if you have the ability, you'll find things like co-ops. You'll like a co-op, meaning you can go buy a quarter of a cow or a half a cow, which costs you a fraction. A half a cow is like $600, depending. I shouldn't say that. Depending where you are. And it'll be enough meat for most of people for a year. So I encourage you to prioritize your health in 2024. And I think the number one thing we can start, and where this is coming from, is the idea of prioritizing health for me means first eliminate all the crap going into your body. And that doesn't just mean bad food. It also means toxins. So if we continue to eat toxic meat, toxic vegetables loaded with pesticides, loaded with inflammatory foods, you're not going to improve your health. You're not going to improve the way you look, feel, and perform. So remember, your health is at the foundation of the way you look. A healthy body wants to be lean, healthy, and muscular. It wants to be there. The more you diverge away from health, the more you start to accumulate fat, inflammation, and sore joints, arthritis, things like this, right? So we have to bring our body back to this foundation of health. So I think the number one thing we can all practice, it's not always possible, but practice or create an operating system to move toward is, can I remove all of the toxins coming into my body? Start with pesticides. Second, water. Filter your water. You guarantee you have pesticides and fluoride in your water. Filter it. Find a way to filter it. Don't drink from plastic. Gosh, the data, I don't know if you guys seen the data that's come out recently about there's like 100 million or some crazy number of microplastics in every plastic bottle of water. It's nuts. And that stuff literally goes into your GI tract, goes into your blood, goes into your cell, and starts changing the way your cell communicates with itself, communicates with the rest of your body. These hundreds of millions of microplastics every time we drink from a plastic bottle. Get rid of single-use plastics. Get rid of Tupperwares that are plastic. Get rid of plastic bottles if you can. And the simplest thing to do, guys, get yourself a metal water bottle and ideally invest in a filter in your house. Like, this is the way, if you guys want to make an investment in your long-term health, Russ is doing it. And listen, you can't be perfect. You're never going to be perfect, but you got to get as close to that as you can. Because, man, if you can extend your life by an extra 5 or 10 years, because a small decision you're making right now prevents you from getting some weird cancer or growing a third eye or something like that. This world is loaded with crazy toxins, and we have to do our best to be neurotic for ourselves and for our children. And so I wanted to start off with that because we had some people asking about my stance on, organic food, my stance on calories in, calories out. I was like, well, calories in, calories out is bullshit. And there's two things that refute calories in, calories out primarily. One, protein has a greater thermic effect than any of the other foods, meaning if I eat 100 grams of protein, 100 grams of carb, my body has a greater thermogenic response from protein. So that negates the calorie thought right there. And then also fiber has a strong influence on digestion, on the way your body utilizes nutrients. Oh yeah, Russell's saying, guys, don't buy Bragg's apple cider vinegar anymore. Get rid of that shit. Most of you guys will know that Bill Gates bought that company, and he's putting a peel, the toxic coating on the fruits. Man, that stuff's. I mean, I don't know the details yet, but I'm sure if it's Bill Gates behind it, it's not good for us. Anyone have thoughts or questions on nutrition? Anything you guys want me to cover specifically about nutrition?
Just a quick note I put in there. Stainless water bottles okay versus glass or glass superior, and anything's better than plastic.
So, Russ, I don't know, man. I'm not an expert, but I'll tell you what. A lady reached out to me this week in China, and she said, "Hey, Ben, I'd love to supply your Muscle Intelligence water bottles, like the metal water bottles." And I said, cool, send me a picture of what you guys provide. And I saw it and I was like, there's no way I would use this for myself, nor would I send it to any of you guys. It just looks really low quality. And I don't know that, I can't definitively say that stainless steel leaches any minerals, but I have to believe that higher quality ones are better. So as long as you're finding metal, stainless steel, definitely better than plastic.
There are people that have nickel allergies, which is a high constituent property in 300 series stainless. I don't think it leaches in the water, but I don't know.
Okay, that's good to know. So I don't know if you guys when you guys start this coaching in your email, and if it's not in your email, it's definitely in your email, but it'll also be on your profile. There's a document that I wrote on, which is basically like a how I eat document. I encourage you all to read it. And it's the best version of any nutrition plan that I've been able to put together in my life. So sometimes people often say, well, Ben, how do you eat? And I was like, well, how in an ideal world, how would you eat? Because it's not always an ideal world, right? We try to be ideal 90, 95% of the time, but it's not always perfect. So the first priority is like quality above everything. If I can't find high quality food, I just don't eat. Like today on my entire day since 4 a.m. this morning, I had small bags of organic cashews. That was it. And a bottle of water. I was like, well, I'm not going to eat a bunch of crap, so I might as well just wait till I get here and go have some ceviche. So quality above all. Second thing is protein, right? Getting enough protein. 1 gram per pound minimum. Minimum. You can go over 1 gram per pound. Then we're going to make sure we get enough fiber and various types of vegetables. And various types of vegetables is like get as many different vegetables as you can. Some of them need to be cooked, some of them don't need to be cooked. The kind of fourth lens that we're looking at is minimize inflammation. And that means everyone's different. So what's inflammatory for me, and it may not be inflammatory for you. For example, I can't eat eggs, at least egg whites. I can't eat dairy anymore. I can't eat gluten. I'm actually not bad with, but I don't eat it because it's obviously inflammatory. So find the things that are inflammatory for you and stay away from them. Prioritize like the quality. Like, so if we're thinking about, this is actually an important lesson. There's three things that drive aging and that drive disease primarily, right? Inflammation, oxidative stress, and elevated blood glucose. That's it, right? Said it again. Inflammation, oxidative stress, and elevated blood glucose. That's it. So if we want to live a long, healthy life, we have to minimize inflammation, optimize oxidative stress, not minimize, and I'll explain that in a minute, and then minimize blood sugar response, blood glucose. So the reason oxidize or minimize, it's not minimize oxidation, because oxidative stress is a part of life. It's not going to go away, but we have to learn to balance it. So when we train, there's more oxidative stress. When we breathe, there's more oxidative stress. So you need to have a balance of antioxidants and a robust antioxidant system in the body. The body has natural endogenous antioxidants, glutathione, superoxide oxide dismutase. These things are naturally occurring in your body, but we got to support them. We get them from vegetables, we get them from plants. And that's why I'm not the biggest believer in a carnivore diet long term. Short term, maybe, but long term, I think it's just missing too many antioxidants. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. But now that these guys have added fruit in, it makes more sense. Yeah, I agree with you, Russ. Suspicious of anything coming from China. So go through. Oh, and the last one that I didn't mention is eat to support your microbiome. So your microbiome is bacteria, and we're all these bacterial beings, right? We literally have
What?
grown and made to thrive off bacteria. And if you don't eat enough things to support your microbiome, inflammation is going to be driven up. So inflammation comes from the immune system. The immune system and the gut are the same thing, right? So the gut, anything that gets through the gut that ultimately isn't supposed to be there is going to drive up inflammation. So if you want to minimize inflammation, you eat to support the microbiome. The more diverse the microbiome, the better. So it's fermented foods, sauerkraut, kefir, things like that. And the other thing I guess that's worth mentioning is carbohydrates are not the enemy. Carbohydrates are absolutely important if you have a healthy blood sugar response and you're moving. Right. So if you have an unhealthy blood sugar response, then carbohydrates is not a good idea. And I'll tell you what a blood sugar response should look like. We think of it like time, what they call time under the curve. So when I eat sugar, my blood glucose goes up. If it stays up, then I have a bigger amount of time under the curve. So if it goes up and then it comes down, and if it doesn't go up too high, the less space or the less time under the curve, the better your blood glucose response. So we want to just like, what does your time under the curve look like, or the amount of kind of space under that curve? So if you guys have never used a continuous glucose monitor, it costs you $200, but it's worth it. It's worth knowing. If anyone ever gets tired around meal times, things
Is
like
that the
that.
one that goes to the back of the arm?
Yeah, I got it on right now, but I can't show you.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I use one every probably 2 or 3 months. It lasts for 14 days, lasts for 2 weeks. I see your question, Greg. I'll respond in a second. It lasts for about 2 weeks, and it gives you just a kind of a baseline of what's going on in your body. Yeah, so it gives you like a snapshot at minute to minute of what's happening inside your body. Greg, dairy is challenging, man, because for some people. So most people over the age of 25 have some level of dairy intolerance. Most, not all. That doesn't necessarily mean dairy is bad for all people. If you don't have a intolerance, and Russell's making a good point there as well. If you don't have an intolerance, you're fine. Now, there's a big difference between dairy in North America and dairy in Europe. Big difference. There's also a big difference in raw dairy that's organic and dairy that's from corn-fed cows that are they're eating pesticides. So quality has to be above all, right? Andrew's asking the nutrition document. It's called, I think it's just called, let me find it. It's on my computer. Oops. It's not called How I Eat, it's something like that. Maybe it's not here. I don't see it. Anyways, it's something like How I Eat or something like that. Somebody will tell me. I can have it resent to everybody. Yeah, I don't have it on my computer right now. But if anyone's interested, I can have it all resent to you guys tomorrow through email. Yeah, it's definitely one of the documents that everyone gets in the first 7 to 10 days that part of this community because it's important. Questions about nutrition?
Yeah, Ben, any particular brand you recommend for the blood glucose monitor?
So they've just come out with a Freestyle Libre 3. If you can find that one, that's the best one. Usually, you'll get Freestyle Libre 2, which is the one I have. It's hard to find it. I think 3 may be more readily accessible in the US. I got mine in Canada, so I got the Freestyle Libre 2. Levels also, I think Levels actually uses the Freestyle Libre unit, but to be honest, I think their interface, their app sucks. Freestyle Libre looks pretty great. I mean, this is all you see. You see a little like line with the green thing, and like that's it. It's very simple. The Levels one is like not awesome.
Got it.
So the good thing about Levels, I would say, is you can go on there right now, provided they don't have a big waiting list. You can get one sent to you almost immediately, no doctor required. Oftentimes, you have to go to your doctor and request it.
Gotcha.
Sorry, could you clarify? Freestyle Libre 3, hard to find, but may need a doctor's prescription.
So oftentimes in the US, you do need a doctor's recommendation for a blood glucose monitor. But if you go to levelshealth.com, I'll put it in, I think it's this.
Yep, just found it levelshealth.com.
If you use the I use David Sinclair's link. So levelshealth.com/Sinclair. That I think puts you to the front of the list. We may have a link to it too, but I don't know. Oh, interesting. Eggs, eat the whole egg or the egg white, and how many? So I'm a believer that whole eggs is absolutely a better solution. However, you just have to build it into your macros because obviously eating a whole egg has a lot more fat in it, which is not bad, has a lot more protein in it too. So I would say, and the myth around like eggs having too much cholesterol, just it was never useful and it's been proven just be stupid. So there's no negative implications of eating cholesterol from eggs. Zero. Yeah, never been proven, never been substantiated. In fact, it's been disproven. So I wouldn't so much worry about anything other than just making it fit your calories. And again, quality, right? Try to find some wild, or not necessarily wild, but like free range, organic, good quality eggs.
Bad question. Any preferences about cooking meat?
Dude, I love you. Thank you for asking that question. So, yes, cooking your meat on high heat, unfortunately, gentlemen, is not good. Yes, it tastes better. Yes, restaurants like to make it look great. You know, like it, yes, the lower heat you can cook it on, the better. So, is it okay to sear the outside? Yes, it's still not ideal. And just make sure that if you're cooking meat on high heat and using oil, you always use either animal fats or saturated fats. So if you're eating an animal fat, it's going to be butter, lard, beef tallow primarily, right? Those are your three primary beef fat or animal fats. If you're going to use anything else, you can use coconut oil. I strongly do not suggest cooking with olive oil. It's not a good idea in most cases.
And what about ghee? Isn't that always supposed to be healthy? It's okay.
Yep, ghee's butter is just clarified butter. Just remove the lactose so people who are lactose intolerant can tolerate it. Yeah, so I guess Keith, the answer is, man, like, and so, you know, like a sous vide would be a very good way to cook it, but sous vide, you're cooking it in a plastic bag, so don't do that. But like sous vide in general, or you know, I often use like a slow cooker, right? Like a crock pot, slow cooker. You know, also I do this probably twice a week. I'll throw an entire roast, where I'll throw six or eight chicken breasts in there. I'll throw some rosemary in there and some salt. Cook that. Wake up the next morning. Your meals for 2 days are done. Yeah, that's the way I approach it. So much easier. If I could travel with a crock pot, I would. Olive oil is not ideal to cook with because as soon as it heats, if it takes it to the smoking point, it's actually going to be converting it into potentially a carcinogenic fat. So olive oil shouldn't be cooked with. It doesn't have a low smoke point, but it's not high. Like, so all the saturated fats have a very high smoke point. I mean, you can cook butter, you can cook coconut oil, pretty high heats, and it doesn't smoke. But if you get to the olive oil to the point where it smokes, you're actually creating trans fat that can cause really, really bad oxidative stress in the body. You also have nutrition questions?
Ben, you bring it up every once in a while, so it's probably worth mentioning again, but digestive enzymes for some people, when is a good age and
Yeah.
thoughts?
Does anyone ever have the absence of desire to eat meat? You're like, I don't really feel like eating meat. Like, no, okay. Because some people do. Some people are like, ah, you know, I have no appetite for meat. And often that's an indication of two things, three actually, in absence of hydrochloric acid, which is a digestive enzyme in your stomach, absence of enzymes, and the absence of zinc or low levels of zinc. So most men, certainly over 40, need to be consuming digestive enzymes because our ability to digest, absorb, assimilate goes down, but our need for protein goes up. So all of you guys in this call should be taking proteolytic enzymes, digestive enzymes, and most of us should be taking essential amino acids as well. So essential amino, the company I use, spoiler alert, I'm building my own brand. It should be out really soon with awesome aminos. But the one I use right now is called Body Health, called Perfect Aminos. The brand is Body Health. Air fryer, I think is fine. I used to use an air fryer called the super wave oven. Like before it was a thing, it was called the super wave oven. So I think it's probably fine. It's high heat, but I think it's probably okay, like as far as my experience. Who else has got questions? No, from what I know about avocado oil, you can actually cook with them. Yeah, it wouldn't be my first choice, but it's probably a better choice than olive oil. Is there an optimal timing for consumption of different macros? Good question. I would say there's a few considerations around timing for sure. I wouldn't say there's an optimal timing, but there's considerations around ways you can make your life more effective. For example, what you eat before, during, and after your workout will definitely affect your workout, right? Will it affect your long-term results? Well, if it affects your workout, it'll probably affect your long-term results. What you eat before sleep will definitely affect your sleep. So it matters at some level, right? What you eat in the morning will affect your energy throughout the day. So if you look at the big picture and you say, well, the only thing that matters is I gotta hit my macros, well, that's not true. Because like I could say that effectiveness is my objective, not just getting through the day. I want to be as effective as I possibly can. So if I wake up in the morning and eat all my carbohydrates for breakfast, I know that I want to take a nap for the next 3 hours. So that's not going to work for me. So I like to front load my day. Now, this is very hard to be specific on this because everyone's different. But so the first consideration is fuel your workout. So if you need some carbohydrates before you work out, you need some carbohydrates during or after, put them there. If you don't need them, then or before, then don't use them. I personally like to start my day with primarily just protein, like high dose protein in the morning, and a little bit of fat, sometimes a lot of fat. And then all my protein and carbs are on my workouts, and the end of the day is primarily just protein and veg. Right. So you got to do what works for you based on what am I trying to do over the next 3 to 4 hours. Like I know for me personally, if I eat a big meal, I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be sluggish, I'm not going to feel great. So I don't do that. Right. So best case scenario, maybe, again, depending on your training, is protein and fats to start the day, carbohydrates and proteins around the workout, proteins and vegetables to end the day in general. But obviously there's nuance based on your training schedule. What form or source of carbs pre and post-workout? Russ, you know, one of my clients sent me a message yesterday and he said, Ben, the young guy is one of my client's sons, actually. He said, Ben, can I eat? No, he said, is tortillas a good source of carbohydrates? So I'll send you guys my response because I thought it was funny. I said, I won't tell you his name, but I said, hey, if berries, sweet potato, and squash are a 10 out of 10 on the carbohydrate scale, and organic tortillas are a 6, then non-organic tortillas are on the same level as Fruit Loops, like a 2, right? I was like, basically, it's shit. And so at the top of the totem pole is berries, sweet potatoes, and squash. I'd say those are your best carbs in general. Then everything kind of goes down from there.
I was going to ask about my eggs, tortilla, and steak breakfast. So I think maybe I need to revisit that one.
Well, so man, if listen, I get so if it's just corn, if it's organic, it's maybe not bad. Like I'd probably give it a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. But if it's non-organic corn, then it's definitely on the level of Fruit Loops. Like I just wouldn't put anywhere near my body. So if it's organic and you're like, I'm having it once or twice a week or once or twice a month because I love it, go nuts. Because I get it, man. When I lived in California, I swear I lived on tortillas. It's like all of my carbohydrates are coming from tortillas, but I wouldn't do it anymore. It is hard to wrap eggs and steak in a berry, but you can put berries on top and it's fucking delicious.
There's probably a sweet potato tortilla out there somewhere.
No, there's a siete, which is cassava, which is great.
Okay.
Siete chips, they're a very, very popular chip. They also make a wrap. They make hard shells and soft shells, and cassava is a very good carbohydrate. However, they have a lot of olive oil in them. So you're gonna sacrifice a lot of your other dietary fats. It's olive oil, so it's not bad, but there's a shitload of fat in those things.
So wrap the Fruit Loops around the steak, you're saying?
Exactly.
Got good.
Mash it up. Use it like a rub.
Yep. Ben, apart from berries, any role for fruits? Any, like, is there any, there's always that kind of sugar in the fruit thing that sits on your mind, but is there anything
Man, dude,
in.
where you are, Keith, I would say as long as it's organic and local, eat it. If it's coming in from somewhere around the world, don't touch it. Like where you are, I'm sure there's amazing fruits. Like when I'm in Costa Rica, bro, like coaches will love you. Like, what are you eating for breakfast, Ben? Papaya. I ate a whole papaya for breakfast every day. Because I'm like, it's fucking local, man. It comes off a tree right there. Like, I'm gonna eat this. But I would never buy a papaya in Canada or the US ever. I'm like, there's no way. So yeah, I mean, if it's local and organic, go nuts.
Hey, Ben, just on the topic of carbs around workouts, two different schools of thoughts before the workout to load the workout and after the workout to replenish glycogen. What are your thoughts?
I have a better answer now than I ever had before in my life. Well, maybe in the last 12 months. It draw the goal or the difference actually, Russ, is you can be pretty objective with it. It depends on the type of training. So if your training is glycolytic, meaning explosive, and you want to teach your body to become more glycolytic during training. As an example, if I'm a professional hockey player, I'm doing 30 to 40 second all out sprints and then recovering for 2 to 3 minutes. That's very glycolytic. If I'm doing something that's like a anything longer than 1 to 2 minutes, it's very, very aerobic, right? So it depends on the energy system. So if I want to train my body to be more glycolytic, then I front load a little bit of carbohydrates before I train and during my training. You can actually shift the fuel your body uses during training by eating a little bit before. So if I want to train my body, use more carbohydrates, I eat a little bit of carbohydrates before and during. So if you're trying to build muscle, that's a good idea. If you're trying to burn fat, it's probably not a good idea. It's probably a better idea to get your body again. Technically, you could be shaving off the high gear in your training by not taking a little bit of carbohydrate, but most people probably aren't. Most people aren't probably aren't training that hard. What should peri-workout meals? So when you say peri-workout, you meaning before and after? I just want to clarify.
Yes, I am telling about before power workout and after workout,
Okay.
both three of them, yeah.
So it depends what time of the day you're training. And I would say before you train, you're trying to eat something that's very quick to empty your stomach. So two options, right? Don't eat. These are two separate things. Either you eat 90 minutes before your meal, or sorry, 90 minutes before you train, and you can have a normal meal. If you're eating closer to the workout, then you have to eat things that are easier to digest, faster to empty the stomach. Eggs, protein powder, I don't know, rice, maybe things that are quick to empty the stomach because you don't want to have a lot of food in your stomach when you're going into train. So think about that. What you have before you train, it depends what drives your workout the best. Now, after the workout, again, I would say quick to digest foods. I don't take any fiber before or after my workout because it slows stomach emptying. Right, so I want to be considerate of how quickly can I get this nutrients into my muscles. So I don't want to have things that are going to take a long time to empty. A lot of fat takes longer to empty. A lot of fiber takes longer to empty out of my stomach. Proteins and carbohydrates tend to empty a little bit quicker. So I would prioritize that stuff around the workout. Intro workout. I'll give you my intro workout. I actually just wrote a. So I'll say this: if anyone wants to build muscle. Building muscle is a very, very requires a very, very aggressive approach. Your body doesn't want to build muscle. Building muscles requires a very aggressive approach, like very aggressive. So when I was competing, I was like all hands on deck to try to do everything I possibly could to build muscle. So what I would do, I would often do 100 grams of carbs before, 100 grams of carbs during, 100 grams of carbs after. With 20 grams of amino acids during and after, and whey protein during and after, like aggressive. You don't need to do that much. I was a big guy. But I would suggest if your goal is building muscle and you're insulin sensitive, then carbohydrates a little bit before, potentially a lot during, and then potentially a little bit to a lot after, depending how hard you train and how much volume you're doing. So like, yeah, I would say it depends. If you have specific questions, I'm happy to answer.
You mentioned whey protein. I wasn't writing fast enough as part of that protocol. I'm not in muscle building mode right now, but I the holidays did me in.
Yeah. So here's what I would do, man. Like, you're trying to optimize the anabolic environment. Well, at least I think you should, right? Yeah. Some people could argue against this. I would say you want to, if your goal is anabolism, you have to optimize for anabolism. So if you can tolerate whey protein, I would do, based on your body weight, I would say between 30 and 40 grams of whey protein before you train with 20 grams of collagen, and then a little bit of carbohydrate, and then maybe even a little bit of MCT oil. During, you're going to do some amount of carbohydrate, probably between 30 and 70 grams, depending on how hard you're training, and then about 20 grams of essential amino acids and electrolytes. Post-training, I'm going, depending again, did you do enough volume to warrant more than 70 grams of carbohydrates? Maybe. You may not need carbs after, but you may. Then you're going to go again, probably another 30 to 50 grams of whey protein. And I like to do some more collagen then as well. So I'll do another 20 grams of collagen. And so collagen, just the way I look at it, it tends to balance out the amino acids. So if you're always eating animal protein, animal muscles, you get a disproportionate amount of the amino acid methionine, which isn't always necessarily good. You can balance it out by taking in some more collagen to get some more glycine. So this glycine to methionine ratio is very important. So we want to just be aware of that. So I like to put collagen in before and after the workouts.
Ben, as that source of intra-workout carbohydrates, what are your thoughts on like a carb powder, like Carbolin or something like that?
Totally, man. I think, man, when if you're burning hot, right? And I say burning hot, like you're getting in there, you're getting after it. It doesn't matter, man. Like, as long as it digests well in your stomach, it doesn't give you gas or bloating. It doesn't. It's so insignificant. You could literally have anything. I mean, other than, you wouldn't want fructose, but you could do anything else. So fructose doesn't actually turn into muscle glycogen, right? Fructose turns into liver glycogen. So you don't want any fructose, but, or maybe a little bit. You could do a little bit afterwards. But yeah, you'd want to primarily do, just make sure it's glucose or sucrose, or primarily glucose.
Yeah, I've heard about some guys that just do pure sugar. Like they'll do jelly beans or some crap like that. Just.
Well, yeah. The thing is I wouldn't do jelly beans just because it's also coming with a bunch of bullshit you don't need. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that do that, the powerlifters. But you know what I noticed? I don't know if Steve agrees with this. Most of those guys who do that shit look really, really – like they have really bad acne and things like this. Like they look really bad. Like, man, I don't want my body to be unhealthy on the inside just to be strong.
Ben, what are your thoughts on dextrose, Ben?
Straight
like powdered dextrose.
I think it's good. Yeah. Powdered dextrose, it's the cheapest form of sugar, and it's great. Yeah. I mean, you can get like enormous amounts from like the bulk food store for pennies.
I get a 5-pound bag of it, and it lasts quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good choice.
David? Then what do you mean about collagen? It is a form of the tablet or what in what form collagen?
Collagen peptides in powder.
In powder. But okay.
Always make sure it's collagen peptides.
Collagen peptides, yeah. And how much?
Between 15 and 30 grams at a time.
Between 15 and 30 grams at a time. And after workout, within about the time after workout, when we should eat, within 30 minutes or 1 hour or 2 hours?
if you trained hard as quickly as you can afterwards is useful. I think it's important to consume protein at very least as quickly as you can. Oh, here's another thing that came out recently. Stevie, I don't know if you heard this. And this has blew my mind, actually. I'd never heard something like this before. So I used to think, and science used to say that protein synthesis is either on or off. It's a switch. It's binary. What they've discovered recently is that's not true. There's different levels of amplitude. So they suggested, and man, I used to do this on recommendations from Charles Poliquin. I used to do 100 grams of protein after every workout. So I do 4 scoops of whey protein. And he's like, because I was obviously a big dude. And they've proven recently that you can literally do 100 grams of protein post-workout and it actually just increases the amount of protein synthesis. So it's not binary. It's actually potentially graded. Like there's amplitudes of protein synthesis, which I thought was very interesting. And now here, I'll say this. I don't recommend doing 4 scoops of whey protein to anybody because I also developed an intolerance to whey protein because of it. So, but you could do a mixture of different types of proteins. That may be a good thing, right?
Ben, I'm not sure if you saw or if you followed Dr. Sean Baker, but he actually posted on that. He's the original like carnivore guy, right?
Yeah.
To follow him because he's always he's very biased. Yeah. but he posted what you just said. And a lot of people in his stories and in his posts are always picking on him for eating so much protein, right? Like you can't digest that. You only can digest 1.1 gram per hour, whatever, right? And so this came out and he was like, told you. And he just loved it because this is what the guy does after a workout. He'll have like two T-bones.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a consideration there around like eating that much steak because it's not to say you can't digest it, but do you have the acid and enzymes to break it down? And as you age, you have to make sure you're supporting acid and enzymes. I don't know if he does. And acid and enzymes is genetic as well. So there's a lot of considerations there.
I think with a guy like Dr. Sean, he's one of those, like you talked about, like the 10% outliers. He's found the thing that's working for him. And at least right now it is, because he's still breaking records, right? He's doing really good for himself physically. And he's increased his health. So it's just interesting to follow his journey.
Yeah, I think he's great, man. I love that he's so attached to it. I'm curious about his oxidative stress. Like, maybe it's great. I don't know. Love to see it.
Ben, you told about aminos. That means I can use the BCAA or the whole protein or what?
When specifically? After the workout?
Before workout, you told about the aminos. Yeah. Can we use the BCAA?
No, don't use BCAAs. Use just essential aminos, EAAs.
EAAs, okay. Thank you.
BCAAs, guys, it's kind of been refuted. There's not a lot of value. We want to get all the essential aminos.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Quick one.
Ben, there's a lot of blends. That's like an EAA and BCAA blend. What are your thoughts on those?
That's fine. So BCAAs basically is just useless without the other aminos is what they're saying. Because the only thing you're really getting from BCAAs is leucine. So if you get leucine and you add it onto EAAs, that's great. Someone else had a question.
A quick one. I typically start the morning with 40 grams of collagen protein on water. Based on what you said, 15 to 30, maybe it's too much.
So here's my feedback. Are you just doing like scoops of collagen in your water?
Yep. And then heading to the gym typically.
So there's a few ways to think about that. That would be great for your joint health because you're getting additional glycine in there. It'll be great for your joint health. You're not going to be synthesizing protein. There's not enough leucine in collagen to synthesize protein. So you may want to add some additional, maybe a half a scoop of whey protein or adding in some BCAAs. It might even be a good thing at that point because you just need the leucine switch. And man, if you could, it probably adds to the expense a little bit, but if you could do bone broth, it's maybe from time to time, there's additional benefits to bone broth with like growth factors and things like that. So like my favorite way to start the day every day is bone broth. I should probably start my own bone broth company, but it's so expensive it's like $12 a serving or something for bone broth. I'm like, that's not realistic for people to do. Yeah. I mean, totally. I mean, fudge. He's gonna have goat balls in his bone broth.
Ben, forgive me if you said this already. Did you have a recommended brand of collagen?
Not really, man. As long as it's collagen peptides, like Bubs, this has been a long time favorite of mine. Vital Proteins is something I use. There's another one that I forget right now, but yeah, it doesn't matter, man. I think there's like two or three companies in the whole world that supply it all for everybody. It's all, as long as it's the same thing. It comes
what about the Bulletproof brand?
As long as it's peptides, remember, it's don't assume that they're peptides because some of them are not. So Bulletproof is fine.
It does say on the label. It sits with me well, so I've been sticking with it.
Yep. Yeah, I use Mats is jumping there. I use ATP Lab just because it tastes good. Do you know what I do with my collagen? You guys will laugh at me. With my Bubs, I use it as a seasoning on my steak. Which sounds ridiculous. No, it sounds ridiculous, but it actually adds a really nice texture, like a mouthfeel. Try it. Don't knock it. Try it. I put salt and Bubs collagen on top of my steaks. It's fucking delicious. Andrew's like, of course you do.
Ben, another question. For those of us, unlike Chris, who don't like eating balls raw and things fresh out of animals, things like liver tablets, organ tablets, anything like that, that's a good bonus or worth considering?
The key question was, do we think that organ capsules and organ things are a good idea? Yes. However, everyone's different, man. And for me to make a general broad stroke statement to say, yes, everyone should be eating organ meat. Well, I think most people would benefit from organ meat sometimes, but taking the supplement. So have you ever done your genetics or like your blood? Are your iron levels in check?
Yeah. All good.
Then you're fine. Because some people can have some issues with hemochromatosis or iron accumulation from eating too many organs. So as long as you know your iron levels are in check, then you're fine. Organ meats have this beautiful advantage of actually providing an appropriate amount of copper. Copper is not easy to get from the diet, but it comes from organ meats. And copper actually is very, very important in helping your body metabolize iron. So it helps your body absorb more iron and get rid of more iron. Copper is very important. So organ meats is a really good way to balance out iron. But you just got to make sure you pay attention to it if your iron is off.
How can you use, which kind of carb you use during intra-workout?
It doesn't matter. You can. We talked about this. You can kind of use whatever you want. If you want to use dextrose, if you want to use carbolin, if you want to use like whatever's cheap and doesn't digest well in your stomach, it doesn't matter that much. Just don't use fruit.
And if I finish my workout at 8 p.m. and I usually take my dinner around 10, then should I take immediately protein and carbs after workout or not?
Yeah, if it means you can shrink the size of your meal, then yes. Like the last meal of the day shouldn't be a big one. Try to make it as small as possible. Get some liquid calories in there, yes. And if you're training that late, there's two supplements you should put in there. L-theanine should be in there for sure. And ketone esters. So I'll put them in the chat box for you.
Okay, thank you. I got it, yeah.
So the ketone esters that I prefer is ketoneaid.com, and it's KE4 is the product. I don't have an affiliation. It's just a good product. Anyone who wants to sleep better, if you guys have a hard time with deep sleep, get yourself some KE4. It's expensive, but you need a really small amount. Everyone I've given it to, their deep sleep goes up like almost double. What else you got, gentlemen?
The ketone, KE4, had some buddies who've had head injuries and said that it was very helpful in helping rebuild the cognitive process.
Ketones is very important to rebuilding the cognitive state of your mind.
And I'm kind of going through a rebuild process personally with lifestyle. My sleep is poor. So the KE4, and we've talked about sleep in a couple of calls ago. KE4, any other suggestions? Magnesium?
Hold on. What's wrong with your sleep? Give me specifics.
I have, I'm weaning myself off of 30 years of sleep aids like Lunesta and Klonopin. So yeah. My sleep is, the deep sleep isn't real solid. My REM sleep is coming back, but it's, you know, rebooting a lot of processes.
You have sleep apnea?
I use a CPAP.
Okay. What's your resting heart rate?
52.
What's your resting respiration rate?
That tends to be around 15. I know you'd mentioned 14 was a target.
Yeah, 12 to 14. How's your aerobic fitness? Pretty good?
Getting better. It's not where it should be. It's I'm just really coming out of the hole in the last 5 weeks.
Getting back. Fuck you up in Costa Rica. You don't even know.
I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm terrified.
No, I'm gonna fix your diaphragm. So if we can, are you using mouth tape?
Repeat.
Are you using mouth tape to sleep?
No.
We got CPAP.
The CPAP.
The CPAP on your mouth or your nose?
Nose. And I don't wake up with a dry mouth, so I'm not mouth breathing. It's just the nose works. I've tried sleep apnea. I've had surgeries on my nose and nasal cavities, and nothing would cure it. And I had a couple of personally bad experiences with tape around my mouth in foreign countries.
Yeah.
I have a little problem with tape on my mouth.
What's your body weight?
In the morning, it's like 213 currently and on its way down.
Yeah.
I'm about 17 pounds.
Yeah, I think once we get you down to like 190, 195, so the sheer circumference of your neck can cause sleep apnea. Like you're just like big, guys who have big muscular necks tend to have sleep apnea. So if you were to drop 10, 15 pounds, it may actually help a lot. Just help you sleep more effectively.
Even when I was running marathons at 180, it's a congenital defect.
Yeah. Okay. So big picture of sleep, right? So we look at checking all the boxes. We're like, okay, well, heart rate seems pretty good. Do you have decent variability or is it pretty low?
It's gotten that I quit booze January 1st. I had been using a lot for a long time, sales role, traveling a lot. So it's doubled and it's all the way up to a whopping 18.
Okay. How committed are you to changing it? Are you all in?
I got about 3 hours a day I can spend on my fitness.
Okay.
And if it's like a full lifetime change where I've got to like quit working and become a monk, no. I don't have that.
No. So there's, I don't know what the app is called, but I don't even know that I've never even seen the app, but I guarantee it exists. There's an app that's going to help you breathe. Actually, HeartMath. Get HeartMath.
HeartMath?
HeartMath. Yep.
HeartMath? M-A-T-H?
M-A-T-H. Yep. And so there's a device you can clip to your ear, and it's going to tell you exactly how to breathe. Anyone who wants to improve their sleep and HRV, get HeartMath. And it'll probably, I think the protocol is 5 to 7 minutes a day. It's not very long. And so the number one way to improve your breathing is, sorry, to improve your HRV is to improve your breathing. And learning how to control, as an example, Matt, when we're in Costa Rica, I'll do this to you. And we did it with everyone at the camp. Like if we introduced a box breath, right, where you're going to go four in, four hold, four out, four hold, and learning to like calm yourself down long enough to stay in that box, the box cadence. And then we go to six in, six hold, six out, six hold, and then eight, 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 you know, and then teaching yourself to like calm down, even when there's this like instinctive drive to like panic because I got to breathe. I'm bringing down the overall state of my nervous system. That's what HeartMath is going to do for you. They're going to teach you resonant breathing.
And so engaging parasympathetic, shutting down sympathetic, or pushing down sympathetic, which is I'm keyed up to 11 all the time.
Yeah. I think that's probably, man, I think as far as levers to like improve your sleep, there's that. Now I can tell you all the chemical stacks in the world. So I would take a blend of 400 milligrams of magnesium threonate and 400 milligrams of magnesium glycinate. Do you tend to get anxious or you just tend to not be able to sleep?
I don't have a hard time falling asleep. My latency is usually like 3 to 6 minutes. Yeah, I'm having a hard time staying asleep and just getting middle of the night waking up.
So ketones would be a big one for you then. Now the trick with ketones, Matt, is you can't overdo it. If you do a whole capful, so I would start with a half a capful, see if it works. Because if you do a whole capful, for some people it's like too much. But usually somewhere between half a capful and a whole capful. I do a whole capful personally when I do it. I'm a big dude. And I just sleep great. So I would say that should help. You're basically, the thing you're trying to solve for is you got to manage adrenaline. You're probably getting some adrenaline spikes. Have you worn a continuous glucose monitor?
Nope. So I'm making notes on that earlier.
Yeah, I would add one in there, man. Because if we can see what your glucose does in the middle of the night, it'll give us a good indication of what your adrenaline's doing. So oftentimes your glucose will parallel your adrenaline levels. So if your glucose starts to come down, your adrenaline shoots up. So we can see that. And that's usually what wakes you up. But we can find that. Two other things that I would add in there. I would add in 3 grams of glycine and 1 gram. I do 2 grams of NAC, N-acetylcysteine.
Prescribed by Greg, I think, or prescribed, suggested by Greg.
Yeah, add the glycine in there as well because glycine will help you sleep.
And the magnesium, the first 400 milligrams that you had suggested, what was that specific compound, magnesium? You had 300 of magnesium.
Magnesium threonate, magnesium glycinate. See it?
Got it. Thank you.
Anytime, man. And Matt, when we're in Costa Rica, we'll chat about peptides. I'm seeing a fucking massive difference from these peptide bioregulators, like unbelievable difference. And you know what's the most surprising to me? My overall consistent blood glucose and my overall consistent, I don't have any like, you know, when you get stressed, I don't know if you guys feel this, sometimes you get stressed, you have these like urges, like, oh, I want to have some food. Or I kind of get anxious, not anxious, but like antsy. I don't have any of that. It's gone. It's interesting. I wouldn't say my sleep has improved a lot, maybe a little bit, but really interesting benefit from this round of peptides.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll just tell you, I'll share with you like how I'm doing it. And yeah, really interesting.
Bring notepads and apparently diaphragm protection.
Yes. All good, gents. Anything else?
Hey, Ben, I was just going to add, for any of you guys in the States, if you if you work for a company that has like a health savings account or flexible spending account, you can get your blood glucose monitors paid for through those accounts. And like I paid for my membership through Levels through that as well. So if that's something you guys are looking into, it helps a little bit with the cost.
Yeah. So I know Sarah, is she on here? No, she left. Sarah works her ass off, man. She's been doing awesome. And she's been working really hard to try to find us a good partner. So work in progress. So you guys know. All right, everybody. Well, if nothing else, I'll let you guys get on with your day. Thanks for being here.
Formative call. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. I'm going to go enjoy the beach.
Have fun.
Have a good night. Talk soon.